Well, good morning, ladies. This morning, as I begin my lesson, I'm going to read a quote to you. And as I'm reading, I want you to think about what the source of this quote could be. I'm just going to give you a little hint. The year is 1873. Man is, or should be, woman's protector and defender. The natural and proper timidity and delicacy which belongs to the female sex evidently unfits it for many of the occupations of civil life. The constitution of the family organization, which is founded in the divine ordinances as well as in the nature of things, indicates the domestic sphere as that which properly belongs to the domain and function of womanhood. The harmony, not to say identity, of interests and views which belong or should belong to the family institution is repugnant to the idea of a woman adopting a distinct career apart from that of her husband. The paramount destiny and mission of women are to fulfill the noble and benign offices of wife and mother. This is the law of the Creator. Any guesses? Spurgeon. Great. That's a great guess. Actually, this quote is from the United States Supreme Court in 1873. It upheld the Illinois state law, which denied women the right to become attorneys. It's amazing how far we've fallen. There are several observations that are relevant for our lesson this morning. First, there is the recognition of the distinct roles in the family: man as protector and defender, woman as wife, mother, and homemaker. There is the recognition that these individual responsibilities are based on the natural differences between men and women, and that they are ordained by God as their creator. There is the affirmation that the profession of wife and mother is noble. That means it's dignified, it's righteous, it's good, and benign, which is to say it's kind, caring, and compassionate. There is confirmation that the wife's role in the marriage and in the home is valuable and her most important responsibility. Now, we know that the Supreme Court, as well as our society in general, does not endorse any of these statements as legitimate or relevant in the 21st century. It's Romans 1. Those who profess to be wise became fools. They refuse to acknowledge God any longer. They are without understanding. We as believers are not to be conformed to the foolish thinking of the world. Chris, in our first lesson, defined wisdom as the ability to see all of life from God's point of view and to know how to respond accordingly. God's intended purposes for men, women, marriage, and the family, as outlined in His Word, have not changed. We must respond accordingly and determine to be obedient without regard to the world's views. John MacArthur. God has a magnificent and wonderful design for women. It is a design which will fulfill their created purpose, maximize their uniqueness, make them a blessing to the world, and bring fulfillment to their own lives and glory to the name of God. Our perfect woman this morning, Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 11, is a poem. And the purpose of the poem is to instruct men what they should look for in a wife. And it's all about her attributes as a godly woman. It's not about her achievements, her accomplishments, her successes, her beauty, or her intelligence. It's about her godly character. The poem, interestingly, has 22 verses. Each begin with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It made the poem memorable, easy to recall in a man's mind, and he's thinking, what should I be looking for in a woman? that would be easy for him to recall. And for the woman, she would know what kind of woman she should become. The Proverbs 31 woman is a model of what the Titus 2 woman looks like in practice. And Titus 2 is a New Testament confirmation of the ideal woman in Proverbs 31. So as background, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, which is our key verse for Titus Tuesday. Begin with verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, which is to say, live wisely, have sound judgment. They are to be pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. The qualities that the older women are to teach the younger women are the qualities that the Proverbs 31 woman demonstrates in her daily life. Now turn to Proverbs 31, and we begin in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Now only God can produce this kind of woman. Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. And Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A man who finds this kind of woman is wise and has found something of great value. Now, there are those that God has gifted to be single, and that is his purpose for you, and where you will be both fulfilled and will glorify him. So although Proverbs 31 woman is a wife, she is more importantly a portrait of feminine wisdom. So each of us will be able to gain wisdom from examining her life. She is not a real person, thankfully. We will look at her character as a wife, her diligence as a homemaker, her compassion and hospitality toward others, her influence and blessings as a mother, and finally, her relationship to God. Verse 11, we begin, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. This woman is trustworthy in all areas of the marriage. The relationship between husband and wife is the most important and intimate relationship in the home. And the most important characteristic in the relationship is trust. It certainly would include guarding her sexuality, as Carrie taught about. But this husband can have complete confidence in her to care for their children, their home, and care for all the household resources. By the way, as many of you probably know, many marriages in ancient times were arranged by parents, and wives were not necessarily trustworthy. It was common practice for the husband to lock up everything valuable when he left home. Today, that would be comparable to taking all of the credit cards when he left. He couldn't be sure that while he was away, he wouldn't end up bankrupt as she wasted the household resources. But the Proverbs 31 woman has the character of a steward. She is faithful to manage the money responsibly. In fact, it says she is not going to lose what her husband has earned. In fact, it says she helps him to profit. In verse 12, it says, she is concerned to do her husband good and not evil at all times. In Genesis 2:18, God said it was not good for man to be alone. Adam needed a companion. When he created woman, God pronounced it very good. Women were created for the good of their husband. The first thing on our list in Titus 2 that is good for the young women to learn is to love their husbands. It's the word philandros. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but this word is only used in this passage and means the special affection of a woman for her lifetime mate, husband, embracing him as her calling, her stewardship from God. So this woman loves her husband with the phileo kind of love, which is the love of a beloved companionship. It's a love of the soul. Carol Mahaney says, it is the love between very close friends, a tender, affectionate, passionate kind of love that emphasizes enjoyment and respect in a relationship. Genesis also teaches us that God created the wife not only as a perfect companion, but as a helper suitable for her husband. A helper is a person who assists another person to reach complete fulfillment. It is used in the Old Testament of someone who went to rescue another person. I mean, sometimes we probably feel like that, that we need to rescue our husbands. As wives, we have the privilege to be God's appointed helper for our husbands. We are designed to help him become all that God intends for him to be. And Nancy Wilson in her book says, we should have a high view of his calling and a biblical view of our responsibilities associated with this calling. Ephesians 5:33 says, let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Respect is not just a feeling. It also requires action on our part. It is something we choose to do. Synonyms are value, revere, esteem, defer to, look up to, admire, show consideration for, appreciate, have a high regard for, honor. Respect and honor will build our husbands up. Sheila taught us about the power of our words. We can either build our husbands up with our words, or we can tear them down, which Proverbs 12:4 says will bring him shame, and it says rottenness in his bones. A critical, biting tongue is destructive to our husbands. Let's not be guilty of tearing our husbands down with our mouths. Again, Nancy Wilson, God has designed your husband to need respect, and he has commanded you to be the principal source of it. He thrives and grows toward godliness when this need is fulfilled. This woman demonstrates loyalty and respect by submitting to her husband. To submit is to yield, surrender, defer, or give way. Willingly accepting our husband's leadership will help him to fulfill his responsibilities before God, and it honors God and his word. Respect and submission are not what husbands require of wives, but what God requires of wives. A woman who trusts in God can rest in her submission to her husband and can do good in her calling as a wife. Godly submission translates to godly helper. And the husband reaps the benefits of his wife's faithfulness. In verse 23, it says, her husband will be known in the gates. The gates of the city was the place where men conducted business. Her husband had a great reputation among the leaders of the city, in large part because she advanced his respect. Gill says, her husband has an influential, important position because of the kind of wife he has. The evidence of being an effective wife is not that she sits in the gate, but that her husband does. Now, there are women in this room, and I'm not going to name names, but you know who you are, that are an encouraging example for each of us in this area. They serve their husbands. They take care of things behind the scenes so that their husbands are free to do what God has called them to do. Their husbands have a reputation for excellence, and we are blessed as a church family by his ministry and your loving devotion to your husbands. Our marriages are for the glory of God and the good of both husband and wife. And when we function as God intends, others will be blessed also. Next, we'll look at her diligence as a homemaker. Now, this woman had maidens to help her in the home. But I want you to start, just follow along with me. Verse 13 says, she looks for wool. She works with her hands. Verse 14, she brings. Verse 15, she rises, she gives. Verse 16, she buys, she plants. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength, she makes her arms strong. Verse 19, she stretches out her hand, she grasps the spindle. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Verse 24, she makes, she sells. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. This woman is not idle. She works at home diligently. Ladies, there is no benefit in just staying at home. We must work in our home. I'm going to tell you just a little story. I used to clean houses part-time many, many years ago. We got a call from a woman asking us to come over to clean her house. We got over there, and she told us that her husband had threatened to leave her, and it was because her house was so filthy. It was awful. So she called us to clean, you know, which, I mean, that's great. If you need help cleaning, that's fine. Problem was, while we were cleaning, she was sitting down watching soap operas. And this is, I mean, talk about bringing shame to your husband. No, we are to be working in our home. That's what we're to do. The list in Proverbs 31 is not to be used as a job description to evaluate ourselves daily, but it will help us to remember that all of our activities at home have purpose, and we must be diligent to accomplish the responsibilities we have in the home. Deb Terry gave us a definition of diligence in her lesson. It is giving persevering attention to something, to be seriously devoted to something, to be steady, earnest, and energetic. This woman is dedicated to provide for her family's most basic needs with excellent care and attention to detail. Now, thankfully, our labor to provide for our household is not as labor intensive. We don't have to search for raw material to make clothing for our families. We can get in the car and go shopping at any number of different stores for all of our clothing needs, whether it's winter or summer. And we don't have to travel far to provide meals for our family. We can drive a few blocks and buy fresh meats, vegetables, fruits, and all exotic spices to enhance our family's diet. All of this, of course, still takes planning and work on our part. Our methods are not the same as the woman in Proverbs 31, but the principles that we must follow are still the same. We, as managers of our home, are still responsible to provide clothing, food, and a clean, comfortable, inviting home with the same diligence. Now, we probably have more discretionary time, except for you that have young children. I just had a house full of four little boys in my house, so I remember I didn't have any extra time while they were there. But we need to be mindful of how we use our time. And we've talked about this before. You know, social media is, and I mean, there's a lot of things. I have been on Facebook. I was on recently. I was on somebody's webpage to wish them a happy birthday. And I'm like, how do you have time to play all those games? I don't know. But we just need to really be careful with the use of our time. We are not to remain idle or be busybodies, as 1 Timothy 5:13 says. We must maintain the same focus and the same dedication to be excellent home managers. In verse 13, it says, this woman delights in providing for her family. There is joy in her labor because of the love and devotion she has for her family. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. It means she is motivated to provide for her family because it is good for them. All her efforts bring them joy, and that motivates her to continue. And verse 22, this woman, even as busy as she is, does not neglect her own appearance. It says she is in fine linen and purple. She adorns her beauty for her husband. She doesn't forget that he is a man, and men, they look at the outward appearance, also the inward, but We can't forget about the outward. Our day-to-day activities in the home is how we, for the most part, live out our faith. We are to be diligent in doing good for our family, and God is the one who will supply us with all the time, energy, and ability we need to glorify Him as we manage our homes. And we'll look at her compassion and hospitality toward others. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Verse 11, God says, "For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land." Back in Proverbs 31, verse 20, this woman extends or opens her hand to the poor, which is the poor, afflicted, and humble. She stretches out her hand to the needy, those who are in want, who are poor. This indicates personal involvement on her part. She stretches out her hand. It's interesting that in verse 9 of Proverbs 31, the husband is to open his mouth and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. The same basic words. So this woman, I just think this is cool, this woman helps her husband to obey God's command in this area. She recognizes a need, and her hands meet the need. It could be hands that prepare a meal, hands that provide warm clothing, hands that clean a house, hands that help with children, the sick, or the elderly. Whatever the need, she graciously gives of herself towards that need. Now, all of us as believers says we are to contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. In 1 Timothy 5:10, talking about widows, it said a widow should have a reputation for good works, offer hospitality to strangers, give humble service to God's people, assist those in distress, and be devoted to good works. Now we'll look at her influence and blessings as a mother. It really doesn't say much about her as a mother, but in our Titus 2 passage, we are to love our children. The basis for being a godly mother is to have God's perspective on children. God designed them to be a blessing. Psalm 127, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." When we have this perspective, God's perspective, we can love our children with a tender, affectionate love, the phileo love of Titus chapter 2. And we also will need to provide a godly example in order to have a godly influence on our children. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." This woman has a consistent moral and spiritual strength. Her character is noble and dignified. She is optimistic about the future because she is prepared for her family's needs. She lives a consistent, godly life. And most importantly, she trusts in a sovereign God. She can then train her children with godly wisdom. Several commands for children in Scripture. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. This is what we need to teach our children. We need to teach our children to be obedient. We need to teach them to show honor and respect. And I will just add, it's hard to do that if we're not being respectful to our husbands and to others. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul." This woman can find delight in her children. And everything she does is with an attitude of loving kindness. Carolyn Mahaney says, "The ultimate purpose of phileo love is nothing less than the salvation of our children's souls. This is the chief end of mothering." Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says to Timothy, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 14. As you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's life is an example of the godly influence of his mother and grandmother. There's three generations. I look out here and I can see two or three generations of godly women in this room. And maybe another generation in the nursery. That should encourage us as we train our children in righteousness. It's also encouraging to me that we maybe have not been blessed with that same heritage, but we can begin a line of godly women that influences our children and grandchildren in the faith. You notice that Timothy's mother and grandmother were praised by Paul. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Verse 31, give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This woman doesn't seek praise, but she is rewarded by the praise of her children, the praise of her husband, and even by the praise for those from those in the community. She is praised for her good works. The devotion of this woman in Proverbs 31 to others confirmed that she was in every way an excellent woman, that her worth is far above jewels. Our society may not find much value in our life choices when we decide to dedicate ourselves to the well-being of those that we love. But our value is not based on the standards of the world, but the standards of the Word. There is an eternal purpose and eternal value in the good that we do for others. God's instructions for women are clear and simple, aren't they? Love your husband, love your children, bringing them up in godliness. Be sensible, be pure, work at home, be kind, be subject to your own husband. And the reason that we do all of this, the reason that we choose to live in this manner, is that we don't want the Word of God to be dishonored. We don't want to give our enemies a cause for reproach. Now, we can and will fall short of the standards that God sets for us, but we cannot lower His standards. His instructions are simple, but they are also impossible to carry out. We need to have a vital, ongoing relationship with Him. He is our help. He is our strength. And He will provide everything we need to live a godly, effective life as women. In 2016, we as women can become attorneys. We can even become leaders of a country. But our most noble and high calling remains that of wife, mother, and homemaker, because it is God, our Creator's, wonderful design for us. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 2 says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. We can just go over the chart later. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you have created us mostly for a relationship with you. We thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we can have that relationship with you. And then you have created us for a unique purpose. For those of us who are married, we are to be helpers to our husband. We are to be his best companion. We are to be for him and not against him. We are to love our children and bringing them up in godliness. We are to be serving one another with love. Lord, we just thank you that you give us everything that we need for life and godliness. You give us everything that we need to be the excellent woman. We pray that that is our desire, and that we would strive to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.